Good morning, everybody. Market Sal. Welcome to everybody. Thank you for coming. If I could just remind you, please, to turn off your phones. I also have a sponsorship, a notice to read, which I'm very pleased to say that the shiur is sponsored by Dov Langenauer in loving memory of his mother, Rivka Bat Rav Asher Alter and Chaya Shengel, Aleihem Hashalom. Thank you very much for the sponsorship. We appreciate it very much. And we should learn Le'ilu Nishmatam, or Le'ilu Nishmata, I should say, and Nishmatam for her parents as well. And please God, we should learn some good Torah, and it should be an aliyah for the Neshama. Next week, I will, please God, be here. I was asked. So we have 2 weeks together, then a short break, just one more week away, and hopefully that's the end of the season, and we'll move forward afterwards from there. I'm sure you don't need reminding, it's nearly Hanukkah. We have covered certain Hanukkah issues in the past, more from a halachic perspective. If you remember, we talked about electric Hanukkiahs a few years ago. We talked last year or the year before about having a downtown Hanukkiah in the middle of the square and lighting it and Chabad and all the issues that come up with that as well. This year I'd like to look at a little bit more of a hashkafic. And we're not talking about women lighting menorahs. Women are meant to light menorahs. There's not much to talk about there. This year we're going to talk more on a hashkafic level. I'd like to link it with a very fascinating contemporary question, which I'm going to do in two parts today, this week and next week, which is the question of learning Torah and secular studies. Now, we did touch on this about 3 years ago, and many people here weren't here at that time, and it was a while ago, so people might not remember what we talked about. And anyway, I want to give it a different angle this time. And I want to start with some Hanukkah Torah. There are a lot of sources on the sheet, but the material, at least at the beginning, should not be too difficult, so I want to do it quite quickly. And I want to morph from Hanukkah into the issue of Chochmas Yevanis. And the Chazal had a lot to say about secular studies. Because it's very interesting, we've dealt with a lot of the enemies in the past. You know, the classic Jewish joke, you know, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. The kind of Jewish festival. We know how to deal with our enemies. We know how to deal with the Paros and the Nimrods and the Nebuchadnezzars and the Hamans. And we have a fairly clear understanding of a black and white relationship. You know, they're the bad side, we're the good side, and it's clear. One enemy that we dealt with that we always had a problem working out how to deal with was the Greeks. Because on the one hand, the Greeks are clearly an enemy, and if you go to school, Antiochus, you'll be painted in exactly the same way as Paro or as Haman, another enemy that the Jews had to fight, and he decreed against us, and eventually we rose up against him and defeated them, and now we eat donuts. Okay? On the other hand, you know and I know that the Greeks are not the same as the others. We have this love-hate relationship with the Greeks. Whereas on the one hand, they oppressed us, and there are things that we need to do to fight back. On the other hand, we love the Greeks. We love Greek wisdom, and we love philosophy and learning and what they represented in terms of the enlightenment that they brought. That we very much relate to. And we see that the Jews adopted Greek names with no criticism, quite quickly. You know, despite all that we say about Mitzrayim, that the Jews were redeemed because they didn't change their names, etc., Antigonus Ishtoho becomes very quickly in the Greek era one of the main links in the chain of tradition, and he's called Antigonus. And nobody ever turned around and said, how can you be a rabbi called Antigonus? We had a shiur on Jewish names a few weeks ago, right? People ask me all the time, how can I be a rabbi called Anthony? Okay, in America, that's like a whole question. In England, it's not a question because a lot of Anthonys are Jewish there. But okay, that's a different question. Okay, Abraham, I'm Abraham, that's good too. But Antigonus Ishtoho, do people ever say to him, Hosephus, a Greek name? No, it doesn't seem that way. And all through the period of the Second Temple, the relationship with Greece was complex. And therefore what I want to look at, first of all, is the way we deal with Greece, and then morph that into Chochmas Yevanis, which will next time turn into a discussion about Torah and Derech Eretz and Torah Omada, which is very important for us to have, and hopefully we'll shed a lot of light on this, no pun intended, but we'll try and get there. Let's have a look at the sheet. It's not such a long sheet today, but there are a lot of sources on it, but they're quite short. So let's go through them quickly. Let's set the stage. The ambivalence with which we regard Greece is summed up in this first source, which is a pasuk in Bereishis. It's the bracha of Noach to his sons. Number one, Noach says to them, Yacht Elohim leYefet. God should give beauty to Yefet. Now, of course, Noach had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yefet. God gives beauty, to play on words, obviously, Yafet, to Yefet. V'yishkan ba'ol eleshem. That's the key word. V'yishkan. And he lives, or but, that can be and or but he lives in the tents of Shem. How do we translate that possible? Who is living in the tents of Shem? So if you look at number two, Onkelos immediately comes in and says, Yafti Hashem liYefet, God gives beauty to Yefet, v'yishre shchintei b'mishkan edeshem. But his Shechina, and here I think the Vav is a but his Shechina lives in the tents of Shem. Meaning Yefet has beauty. Yes, beauty, architecture, aesthetics, the Greeks, even the word Yavan, who of course is the grandson of Yefet, the word Yavan is itself geometrical, the Yud and the Vav and the final Nun. It's, the name itself is beautiful. God gives that beauty to Yefet, but the Shechina is with Shem, not with Yefet. Ruchnius is with Shem. And if you look at Rashi, he picks that up. Number three, V'yishkan b'el Hashem, Yishra Shechinato b'Yisrael. That we get the Shechina, they get the beauty, and the two are quite different. However, the Targum Yonason has a different take. Look at number four. The Targum Yonason reads this pasuk differently. It's not but it's and. And he, Yefet will live in the tents of Shem, not Hashem. Look at number four. Yashba Hashem tchumi de Yefet. God will give beauty in the realms of Yefet. V'yitgayarun banoi, but his children and his children will convert. V'yishrun b'midrasha to the Shem, and they, the sons of Yefet, will partner with us, and they will live in the Bet Midrash of Shem. V'yehekna lavik lachon, and that's the end of the pasuk there. But the point is that Yefet and Shem can make a dream team. Together, they can achieve more, apparently, than either of them can as individuals. And this is the beginning, if you like, of this debate as to what is the place of Yefet. Is there place beauty, but not Ruchnius, and we have our own connection with Hashem, or is there some kind of partnership that we need to make with Yefet, with Yavan as well? Look at number five. The Gemara expresses this in a fascinating way. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Af besvarim lo yitiru sheyichtavu ela biyavanis. Svarim, Sifrei Torah, may not be written in any other language than Hebrew or ancient Greek. As in the whole debate, what does that mean, a Sefer Torah written in Greek? Does that mean you write it in the Greek language? Or do you write it in Greek letters? Reshit, as in Beta, etc., etc. Reshit, and you write it in Greek letters. Says the Gemara, my time at Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, why would this be allowed? How can you write a Sefer Torah in Greek? Even one letter, if one letter is in Hebrew is not formed properly, the Sefer Torah is possible. But the whole thing can be written in Greek. Yes, Amakra. Yes, Yafta Lukim Leyefet Liyishkan Be'ol Eshet. It's a partnership. Yefet, the writing of Yefet with the contents of Shem. Dvarav Shal Yefet Yihiu Be'ol Eshem. The words of Greek should be in the tense of Shem. So there, clearly Chazal understood that there was some kind of partnership, and Rav Matthias Weinberg, in a very interesting, very recommended book on Hanukkah, one of his framework book on Hanukkah, he makes the point there that Yavan, the Greek, plus the Tzadi, plus the Tzidkut, makes Tzion. Okay? Ki mitzion teite Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. And of course, who says in the Psukim in Yeshaya, who says ki mitzion teite Torah? The non-Jews, not the Jews. It's the non-Jews come up to Yerushalayim and they recognize ki mitzion teite Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Very interesting. So that's the first, if you like, piece of the puzzle, that there seems to be some openness to a relationship between the two. Next, let's go back even further. The creation of light. This obviously is a light-focused festival, and there are all sorts of reasons why that is. And a few years ago, we talked about Avodah Zorah. We talked about Christmas and New Year and Hanukkah and how they're connected in the Gemara and Avodah Zorah. But clearly, light is very, very much part of the creation. If you look in 6, Bereishis Bara Elokim, etc., etc., and there are many psukim about light. Vayomer Elokim yihi or, vayihi or, vayar Elokim et ha'or ki tov, vayavdel Elokim ben or ben achoshet. God separates between the light and the dark. What is that Havdalah? Number 7. Rashi. Reyu she'enu kedai lishtamesh bo rishayim. This is not a regular light. the light of creation. This is a light of spirituality. And the Rasha'im, and that word is very important, the Rasha'im are not able to use that light, shouldn't be able to. V'hivdel tzadikim, and he separated it for the tzadikim la'atid lavo, in the future. Now, these words, Rasha'im and tzadikim, should already be beginning to resonate, because in the Alanisim, that's the language we use for the battle. Rasha'im v'yad tzadikim. The Rasha'im were the Hellenized Jews, the tzadikim were the loyal, quote-unquote, Jews. The light, apparently, of creation was for these tzadikim. How long did the light burn of creation? How long did the light last? Number 8. Shloshim v'sheish sha'od shim sha'oyt ha'ora. Chazal say in the Rishami, 36 hours did that light shine. Shenivrei b'yom harishon, that light from the first day that was created. Shem esrei be'er Shabbos, it was 12 hours on Friday, because it was for Adam. It was 12 hours on Friday. Shem esrei be'leil Shabbat, 12 hours through Leil Shabbat on Friday night, because it wasn't the sun, it was the light of spirituality. V'shem esrei be'Shabbos, and 12 hours on Shabbos. 36 in total. The higher Adam arishon mabit bo misafa alam asafa. This was a light of insight, not a light of physical light. Adam arishon was able to use that light to see reality in all its glorious technicolors. And of course, the Rakeach brings out what is the relevance of that number 36, 36 hours of the original light. Lamed vav neiros. So there's the Rakeach here. Lama lamed vav neiros. Why do we light 36 candles on Hanukkah? Remez alav lamed vav shal shishim shahor b'maaseh breishis. The 36 hours of that initial light are represented by the 36 candles. You see it all beginning to come together. Next, number 10. Vayikra Elokim el la'or yom, says the Bereishis Rabbah. What is that? Elo masim shel tzadikim. Tzadikim are connected with the light. Number 11. Or zaruah la tzadik. Light is sown for the tzadik. And of course, how many tzadikim are there? 36 tzadikim. It's all the same idea. Number 12. Amar Rabbaya. Loi pachas alma mitalti v'shishet tzadikim. There are no less than 36 tzaddikim, the makabli apishchina, who receive the shchina b'chol yom. It brings the pasuk asheri kol chokelo. So you see it all coming together, the 36 eras, the 36 hours of the light, the 36 tzaddikim. It's built in that way. Who are the rishayim? Number 13. The haaretz haisa tohu vavohu, etc. What are these? These are all the exiles that the Jewish people went through. Tohu zagalot galot bavel, vohu zagalot madai, v'choshech, and dark, Ze Galut Yavan. Okay? The good guys and the bad guys. The forces of good and the forces of evil. We are the light. Tzadikim, the 36 hours of the light. Galus Yavan is the darkness. Shehechshicha einayim shel Yisrael b'gzeirusein. They darkened our eyes with their gzeirus. And again, this is the pattern that you see, that they taught in the school, in the Tzadikim versus the Rishayim. Antiochus, the bad guy, and we beat him. However, this is when it gets a little bit more complex. Yechezkel. Yechezkel has a vision of the Merkava, of the chariot, with all the different malachim. Some of the malachim are Chayas HaKodesh, they're pulling the chariot. Some of the malachim are the Ofanim, they're the wheels of the chariot. All of this mashal, whatever these angels are. But look at what he says in number 14. V'hinei ruach sara. There was an incredible wind, a storm wind, barmin atzafon, from the north. Anan gadol. Look at this image. There was an enormous cloud. The Eish mitlakachat, and there was like fire inside it, like flashes inside it, which presumably is like a lightning. V'noga lo savir. And it had a noga around it. What's a noga? A halo. Like a sheen. A light around it. U'mitocha ke'en chashmal. And the middle was like chashmal, mitocha Eish, inside the fire. Because chashmal, the word chashmal, has its own fascinating history. And chashmal, as you know now, is what you plug into the wall. In the early days of the state, many of the old yeshuv refused to call it chashmal. They called it elektrika. They refused to call it chashmal. Because chashmal is like a navi. The chashmalim are one of the kinds of neviim. Not navi, a malach, excuse me. The chashmal is a malach. You get a malach out of the wall. You call that chashmal. Okay, that battle was lost. And now Chashmalai is a Chashmalai. He doesn't mean he's bringing you Nevuahs from Yechezkel. Is it too warm in here? Will it soon be too warm in here? But they might need to be Aaron because there's a lot of people in here. But okay, we'll end up with some warm and some cool. But Miriam will deal with it, I'm sure. Okay, fine. There's a sheen around it. Now, think of the image that Yechezkel, this image is very important. There's a big, it's like a thunderstorm. There's a massive black cloud, and the sun is behind it. What can you see? You can just see the silver lining. Because every cloud has a silver lining. That's what's going on. It's the sheen of the sun from behind the cloud. So look at the Zohar. Three sources now from the Zohar. We don't get a lot of Zohar in this year, but here we need to. Says the Zohar number 15. Nogalos Avir. What is this sheen? What is this halo? Dayu Malchus Yavan. This is the Greeks. The Sachra Lahon Noga. They have a sheen around them. The Loi Bahu Noga. But in essence, they don't have a sheen within them. They don't have a light. The light of the Tzadikim is not the light of the Greeks. They have another kind of light. They have a halo around them. Diksidvot Tzavit. So to 16. Asher Ein Bo Mum. This is talking about the Paraduma. There is no blemish in it. Who is that? Damalchus Yavan. That is the kingdom of Greece. The inu kravim la'orchei memnusa. They're close to. They come. They approach the ways of Emunah. We never said this about Haman or Paro or any of the others. No, the Greeks get close to Emunah. There's something about them that approaches the truth. And 17, Nogalas Aviv, mihach ulifne. From here we have to learn the sheen of the Greeks. The Afa gav the le sitra da ela sitra de masahu. Even though the real essence of them is tumah, there is a tumah there. There is a negativity there. Nevertheless, nogalos aviv. There's a shine around them. The loy itzrich lelebar nash ledachi lelebar. You don't have to push the Greeks outside. It's not a avodah zara. It's not like the other enemies. You don't have to push them out. My time, or what's the reason? Begin the nogalos aviv because they have a shine. Sitra de kedusha. They have an aspect of Kedusha, Demnusa, and Emuna. Islay, they have that. The law is Strickland, Hababakala. You don't have to mock them. You don't have to pull them down. In fact, you shouldn't pull them down. Don't mess with the Greeks. But Alda is Strickland, Lechaluka. You have to give them a chelek. You have to find them a role. Besitra, de Kedusha, Demnusa. You have to find them a role within the world of Emuna. This is what we said at the beginning. Yaftelakim liyafet. We have to somehow try find this partnership between Greece and the Jewish people. Yes. So that's a good question. Who were the Ode Avodah Zorah? If you look at ancient Greece, the Hamon Am were Ode Avodah Zorah. But the people who ran the country didn't believe in all that stuff. They were Greek philosophers. Yes, Pam, once they were Ode Avodah Zorah before Aristotle and Socrates, etc. But by Aristotle and Socrates, they just laughed at that stuff. They thought it was nonsense. Yes, the Hamon Am is Ode Avodah Zorah, but the real Greeks, they had philosophy at their root. It's interesting. When you want to know whether a system is rooted in idolatry, who do you ask? Do you ask the people on the road, on the street, or do you ask the people in the spiritual leaders? The same could be said of Buddhism and Hinduism, and how do we assess what is and what isn't Avodah Zorah? Lahavdil Elif Havdolos, you could ask a Poshita Yid, what does the mezuzah do? And they could say, it protects the house. That's true on a certain level, but that also sounds a bit like, not quite how we would describe what a mezuzah does. But anyway, so the Greeks were in essence not over the Avodah Zorah, although the people in the street were. Look at number 18, and that will bring the first half more or less to a close. A couple more sources over the sheet. This is the priest Tzadik, Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. He quotes this Zohar in the first paragraph, Asher Ein Bo Mum, Zomachus Yavan. He eats the Zohar, Achadish, he quotes the Zohar, Nogal Asaviv, there's the sheen around it, the Malchus Yavan, that's the Greeks, the Sachra Le Noga, etc. Begin the Leif Bechal, he's just bringing the Zohar, the Leif Bechal Malchun, the In and Kravim, La'orach Mimus, the Kavati. There's no one you have to bring closer to Emunah than them. Now he explains it. The Hainu, I'm at the end of the first paragraph in 18. Shehem Bechachmat Yavanis. Oh, here brings in what we're really talking about today. Chachmat Yavanis. It's Greek wisdom that we're really dealing with. Derech Yashar B'midot. There's a Derech Yashar there. There's a development. There's a character development there. Ma Shena Ba'olam Azela Hanhaga, which is really special, really appropriate for this world. The Greek philosophers have something great to bring to this world. Add to the point, says Rav Tzadik, Shehakadmainim, that the early Jewish authorities, Heviu B'sifreim Midivri Chachmehem, that the Jewish authorities, the rabbis, brought from the wisdom of the Greeks. In their own books. Clearly that has a relevance. Ach, however, b'shayrish chachmatam, hu minut gemura. But in the essence of the chokhmah, there is a minut. Now, minut is not avodah zarah. Minut is something heretical. They're missing something crucial, and let's not forget that. There's something deeply heretical deep in the chokhmah. V'kasvu shenimta achakach al Aristo, and it's written about Aristotle himself, Harosh Elohim, the leader of the Greeks, shehaya male taivus v'toevus. As a personal individual, he was male taivus. Now, I don't know much about the life of Aristotle, and I don't know how much from Tzadik HaKohen knew, but he's making the point that, you know, to teach mathematics, you don't need to be a triangle. Now, you can teach one thing, and you can live a different kind of life. To teach Torah, you can't be someone who is brilliant in Torah and yet completely broken in midas and the way that you live your life. Because that devalues entirely the Torah that you're teaching. So that's not true of the Greeks. No one cares what Aristotle does in his private life. This is from Parsha Shmini, talking about certain animals that have, it's very interesting, they have deep down in them, they chew the cud, but they don't have a split hoof. It's the opposite of the pig, opposite of the chazir. We often think of the chazir who has the outside symbols of the kashrus, but inside is not. But the arnevet, the hare, or whatever it is, it has the inside, chews the cud, but on the outside it doesn't have a split hoof. Now, of course, arnevet is very interesting, because arnevet is one of the changes that the Targum Shivim made. The Septuagint, when they translated the Torah into Greek, they made 14 key changes. You know the whole story there, where they took 70 rabbis, put them in different rooms, and it was a nate because they all agreed with each other? Okay? So to us, that's not such a nate. If they put them in the same room and they all agreed with each other, that would be a nate. Okay? But it was a nate. They all agreed with each other. They all made the same changes. One of them is that they changed the word Arnevet, because Arnevet was apparently the mother of Talmai HaMelech, but there's something with the Greeks that connects with the hair. The hair has the outside symbols of trephus, but inside it's kosher. Shebesharish leishlo hatuma v'siman hanigla. It's very interesting. The tumor is on the outside, but inside there's something good. It's very, this image of the cloud. You basically got a black cloud, which is Tamei, but behind it there's the sun shining. And what you can see is this rim of light around it, and that leads us to a difficult relationship. Do we like it? Do we go for it? Do we not? Look over the next page before we get into Chokhmah Sivanis. Shir HaShirim, we're going all over the place here. Ani Chayma, V'shadai K'migdalot. I am a tower, says the Jewish people. Ani Chayma, the Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Amri Yisrael Ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. Anu Chayma, we are the wall. V'na'amid mitzvot amasim tovim kachayma. We will build up our mitzvot, our masim tovim, the way that we act. We're not going to be like Aristotle and teach one thing and act in a different way. We hold up our mitzvot amasim tovim as a wall. And of course the wall is very important. Number 20, Ma'atzur. Yevanim nikbetsu alai. Adai bimei chashmani. You can all sing it in your head. Upartsu chaymat migdalai. This is from the popular Shir HaShirim. They broke down the wall and the migdal, which was what we just read in Shir HaShirim. V'timu kol hashmanim. And they made all the oils tamei. What is this issue of the Greeks breaking down, making pirzot? They broke through that wall that was the geder of appropriate behavior and the geder between Jewish people and non-Jewish people. Look in the Mishnah in Midah 21. Litnim miminu sorek. Inside the walls of the Heichal was a sorek. The sorek was like a lattice work, as in sruga, yeah? A lattice work fence. Gvoa asara tfachim. It was 10 tfachim high. What happened to this sorek? V'shloisha esrei pirtzot hayosham shepirtzot malchei yavam. The Greeks made 13 pirtzot. They broke through this wall, the sorek. V'chazru v'gadrum, the later, when the Hashmonaim came in, we think about just the menorah, but actually one of the key things they did is that they rebuilt these 13 breaches. V'gazru k'negdam, and the rabbis made a gezerah, shloish etzrei hishtachavayos. From the time of the Hashmonaim till the end of the Second Temple, whenever they get to one of these 13 breaches which had been rebuilt, they would have a special mitzvah of hishtachavayah. To say the Greeks broke them down, and the Jews rebuilt them, and the Tosfos Yontov explains there in 22 that the purpose of the Soreg was to separate ad kan the non-Jews. The Jews may not, non-Jews may not go any further. By the way, they found the sign in Greek. They found the original archaeological sign from the Beis HaMikdash, the sign that says, non-Jews are kindly requested not to go beyond this point. Or actually wasn't quite so polite. But even in Greek, he basically said Jews only from here onwards. The Greeks obviously found that offensive. And they broke that down. They made those breaches, which we then rebuilt. And the Rambam, when he talks about, maybe this 23, to finish this part off, he stresses the idea of these pirzas being key. Look in 23. The Beit Sheni Kishimalchu Yavon, when the Greeks ruled in Beit Sheni, the Greeks, of course, took over from the Persians. Alexander the Great overrode the Persian Empire. Gazru Gzeirat Al Yisrael, Ubiklu Datam, they cancelled out our religion. They didn't try to kill us directly, but it was spiritual. They didn't allow us to do Torah, to do mitzvahs. And they took our money away, and our daughters. They went into the temple. Okay? They made the breaches. And they defiled the oils there, etc. But Sarah Lehemli Israel Ma'od Mifnehem, and the Jewish people were very oppressed, but Lachatsum Lachat Gadol, and we were under great stress and pressure. Ad Shirichim Aleim Elokei Avaseinu, until our God, until our Kodesh Baruch Hu took mercy on us, Vahoshiyim Miyadam Vahatsilim. Vagavru B'nei Chashmonai HaKoinim HaGedolim, and the Koinim Gedolim set up a new system, Vahargum, they rose up, and they killed the Greeks, Vahoshiyim Yisrael Miyadam, Vahimidu Melech Mina Koanim, and they put a king, kings from the Kohanim, which of course is itself a major problem. The Ramban talks a lot about that. The reason the Hashmonaim did not ultimately succeed is their role was to hand over to Shevet Yehudah. But they didn't do that. They kept the Kohanim, the Malchus, for themselves. For Chazru Malchus Yisrael Yeta Al Ma'atayim Shana, but we did get our independence back for more than 200 years at HaChurban HaSheni. And if you want to look just for a second, on the back page, flip to the back page, there is a little chart, which actually I got many years ago in a shiur that I heard from Rabbi Kimchi. And this is a plug for Rabbi Kimchi, he's coming up afterwards. And I saved his source sheet, and it's a very handy little chart here. We're not going to go through this now, but that shows very well the dynasties from Matityahu through the Chashmonaim, through to Alexander Yanai, who of course became a Sadducee, and to his children, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, were involved in a civil war, which we're going to see more about in just a moment. And that civil war was eventually won with the help of Pompey, who came in, the Roman general Pompey, who came in just before the middle of the 1st century BCE. And then the last remaining members of the Hashmonaim family were the women, Alexandra and Mariamne, and Mariamne, of course, of Miriam Hashmonite, she married Herod. And he, of course, killed her to finish off the last of the Hashmonaim, but he regretted that, so he didn't bury her, he kept her preserved in honey, in the basement. He was a strange individual on many levels, okay? And Herod, of course, was the end of the Hashmonaim. Now, what you need to remember in terms of the kings of the Hashmonaim is Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, which we're going to get back to in just a few minutes. So that's the end of part one. What have we seen from this? That already there are many sources that indicate that the Greeks, we have to somehow reach out to the Greeks. On the other hand, we saw at the very beginning, Rashi brings Targum Onkelos, which is no. The Greeks have wisdom, the Greeks have beauty, but they don't have Torah. Torah is one thing, beauty is another, and one of the ongoing debates which has never gone away, every time they lower the ghetto walls and allow us to get out into the universities, we restart this debate. Should we have Torah with something? Torah with Derech Eretz, Torah im Derech Eretz, Torah umada, Torah v'avoda, yeah? Or should we have Torah only? And Torah is the only thing we should be doing. Everything else is Bittel's man. Everything else is Hevel. And Torah, everything is in Torah. You can find everything you want in Torah. You shouldn't be going anywhere else. And that question, that debate rises every time we are given access to Greek, i.e. secular wisdom. It's the Second Temple period we had this debate. Then later when we came out with Jewish philosophy in the Middle Ages, we had this debate in the time of Rosh Hashanah, on the Rambam, etc. And then later, of course, after the Enlightenment, in the 18th, 19th, 20th century, this debate resurfaces, and you can go, you know, it still rages as to how legitimate is Torah Omada, how legitimate is the other things. We'll talk about them a little bit more next week. But let's go to Chochmas Yevanis. Go to page 3, please, source number 24, and let's look at this very interesting analysis, which the Gemara now gets into on Chochmas Yevanis. So there is such a thing as Chochmah of the Greeks. We'll see later at the end of the shiur what exactly that is, but let's assume for now that it's philosophy. Number 24. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So how much Torah does a man have to learn? We'll get to women soon, okay? But how much Torah does a man have to learn? You have to learn all day and all night, right? You have to learn Torah all day, all night. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, even if you just learn the Torah in Shema in the morning and Shema in the evening, kiyem lo yamush. That is a kiyum, that is a fulfillment of lo yamush sefer Torah mipicha yomav alikitabo yomav alayla. Because you learnt a little bit in the morning, you learnt a little bit in the evening, so you did yomav alayla, you did day and night. Good, fine. Shal ben Dama ben achoytis Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Dama, the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, asked at Rabbi Yishmael, his uncle Rabbi Yishmael, Kagain Ani, what about someone like me, he says, Shalamati kol haTorah kula. I already learned all of the Torah. So already you can hear that's a little bit of a brave thing to say for a young man in front of his uncle Rabbi Yishmael. Mahu lilmat chochmas yevanis. Can I move on to Greek wisdom? I want to study philosophy, science, maybe literature, all of those things that go into secular learning. So what did the uncle say to him? Kara alav hamikra hazeh. His uncle read back to him this pasuk. Lo yamush seifa ha-toira hazeh mipicha v'higita bo yomam v'layla. Don't you know the pasuk in Yeshua? The seifa Torah must never ever leave your mouth, day and night. Say u'badoit, go and find sha'a she'en lo min hayom. If you can find a time which is neither day, v'lo min alayla, nor night, and then you can learn Chochmas Yevanis. If you can find something that's neither day nor night, you can learn Chochmas Yevanis. Oh, so one second. So, on the one hand, it sounds like he's saying no. On the other hand, there's a perfectly good word in Hebrew for no. That's lo. Yeah? Can I learn Chochmas Yevanis? Lo. Asur. He didn't answer that. He answered the way a clever uncle answers a clever nephew, which is, sometimes when you ask a shayla, you get the answer yes, sometimes you get the answer no, and sometimes you get the answer that's an answer. You should know. That's not hedging an answer. That's an answer. He says, someone said it, Bein HaShmoshes. Bein HaShmoshes, when you say the time which is neither day nor night, that means something in halacha. If you're not a halachi person, you read this, you think he's saying no. But actually no, he's saying that there's a twilight zone, which the etzem is a suffix. You'll never work out whether it's day or night. It's neither day nor night. Well, it is either day or night, but you never know which it is. It's a built-in suffix that you can never answer, and there is no answer to it. So that's when you can learn Chochmas Yevanis. Now, there were people, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, took this literally, and Bein HaShmoshes, the 20 or so minutes, is the time of the day that he learned Chochmas Yevanis. That's the only time that he learned secular learning, and I'm sure he made good use of those 20 minutes, by the way, but that's probably not what it means. It means if you can find a time which is like between times. So we'll have to analyze what this means at the end of the shir. We'll see how the Shulchan Aruch deals with this. But the answer is not no. The answer is not yes. It's like, yeah.
Isn't there a problem with what the nephew asked? He sounded like he was done learning Torah.
Yes, there is a big problem.
Right. So maybe he would have gotten a different answer if he had said, can I continue, can I also learn Yevanis?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, Rabbi Yishmael didn't come down on him that hard. He gave him an answer.
Which, he's telling him he has to learn whatever it's day or night.
Okay, good. So, but we'll see what we do with that answer in a minute. Now, Tosfos immediately asks a question. Look in number 25. So the nephew is asking, Ma olil mad chochmas yevanis? Can I learn chochmas yevanis? The answer should clearly be no. Tema! This is astounding, says Tosfos. Kiloi haya yodea de gazru alea? Didn't he know? That they made a gezeira? Chazal made a ruling, you're not allowed to learn Chochmas Yevanis. We'll see where that comes from in a minute. I'll give you an answer somewhere else in Manassas. Why didn't he just say no? Not because of Bitwas Man, but because there's something intrinsically asur, prohibited, about learning Greek wisdom. What is that? How does that work? So he's referring to a Gemara in Bava Kamma, number 26. This is a Gemara we never learned before together, but it's very nogea to Hanukkah, and we'll see how that works with Chochmas Yavanis. Number 26. Kishitzaru beit chashmonai ze al ze. Meaning, we celebrate Hanukkah. Baruch Hashem, a great victory. Within a very short time, it all fell apart. Very, very badly. And we ended up fighting each other, we ended up with a secular government, etc. Which is, by the way, very interesting, because when you come to a discussion about should we or should we not celebrate Yom Ha'atzma'ut, should we say Hallel on Yom Ha'atzma'ut, and people say, well, how can you say Hallel, there's this wrong, and there's that wrong, and there's this problem, and there's that problem, the answer is, well, excuse me, we say Hallel on Hanukkah. Hanukkah is an interesting precedent. We say full Hallel with a brocha, okay? 8 days modeled on Sukkot. Because, of course, in Sefer Maccabim, Hanukkah is the 8-day replacement, Tashlumin festival, for Sukkot, which they weren't able to keep that year. It says that explicitly. So if we can say Hallel on Hanukkah, despite the fact that it was a temporary victory, the people that led it quickly went off the derech, everyone became secular, and everyone started fighting and screaming with each other, then you can draw your own conclusions as to whether that has any application for today. There's another way of looking at it as well. But basically, they fought against each other. Hayahurkenes bibifnim, the Aristobulus mibachutz. There was a siege in Yerushalayim. Hurkenes was inside, Aristobulus was outside. Now, this was 100 years before the Churban. 100 years before the Romans eventually destroyed. This was Jew versus Jew. Ubachal yom hayu meshalshin lahem bekupa, dinarim. Every day, Hurkenes would send a basket down on a rope with gold coins. Bahayu ma'alim lahem tamidim. And Aristobulus would send up a korban for the korban tamid. Which is itself fascinating psychologically. They're mamash killing each other. But you don't mess with the korban tamid. Because they're all frum. They all want to do the korbanas. But it's reminiscent very much of the Gemara that talks about the corruption of Jewish observance at the end of the Second Temple. The Gemara talks about the two kohanim running up the ramp to try and get to the top, and the one who would get to the top would be the one who gets the pious for the avoda for the day. And as one kohanim, the Gemara says, was running up, so he saw the other one overtaking him, so he took out a knife and stabbed him in the chest, and he fell down, and he got to the top. The father of the son who had been stabbed ran up to his son, who was dying in his last breath, took out the knife, which was a knife used in the Beit HaMikdash, and said, Baruch Hashem, I managed to get the knife out before my son died. At least the knife is not tameh. Which the Gemara brings as an example of how people completely lost the plot. They totally lost any kind of context or understanding of what it means to keep halacha. They were killing each other and yet keeping Tumah V'Tahara. So here also, they were killing each other and yet bringing the korbanos. Hayasham zaken echad. There was one old fellow there, one wise old fellow. Shaya makib chachmas yivanis. He knew Greek wisdom. We'll see soon what this might mean. Amalehem, he said to them, listen. Kol zman she'oiskim ba'avoida, ein nimsarim b'yedcha. All the time they're doing the korbanos, you won't win this. The korbanos are protecting them. So lemachar, so the next day, shilshilu dinarim bekupa, they send down gold coins, v'helu lahem chazir, and they sent up a pig instead of a korban. They sent up a pig in the basket. Kevan shehigi lachetzi choyma, when the pig got halfway up the wall of the siege of the temple, nav tziporanav lachoma, it dug its claws into the wall, nizdazda Eretz Yisrael arba meos parsa ad arba meos parsa, and Eretz Yisrael shook. There was like an earthquake. Obviously, midrashically, this moment was an earthquake moment when things had got hit a new low. But Oysa Shara, at that time, Amru, the rabbi said, Arur ha'ish sheyigdal chazirim. Now you know what our problems with pigs are. Okay? The cursed is the person who has a pig farm. Okay? Many years ago when I was a lawyer, this is totally irrelevant but worth mentioning, I was involved in a film funding project which there was a Jewish filmmaker that made a film called Leon the Pig Farmer. If you ever remember that film? So little did he know, but that the whole irony of that movie is rooted in this Gemara, which is the Jews and pigs don't go together. The Arur Ha'adam Sheilamed Ed Benoi Chochmas Yavanes. And cursed is anyone who teaches their child Greek wisdom. Says the Gemara, Chochmas Yavanes Miyasira? Really? Is it problematic to learn Greek wisdom? Tanya, I'm a Rebbe. Didn't Rebbe say that Eretz Israel? Oh, Lashon HaKodesh, oh, Lashon Yavanes. What language should you speak in Israel? Either Hebrew or Greek. Or maybe Yiddish. But they didn't mention Yiddish, okay? I just came back from Brooklyn. No one speaks English there. No one that I was with. I was in Brooklyn and Monsey. It was such a bizarre trip. On the one hand, I was hearing Yiddish everywhere, and in every shop they were playing Christmas carols. Although you can actually get Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in Yiddish. So maybe that's, yeah? No, maybe not. Let's scrub that. All the Lashon HaKodesh, all the Lashon Yavanes. So speak Greek? There's nothing wrong with Greek. So Amri, no. Lashon Yavani Luchot, Chachmas Yavanis Luchot. We don't have a problem with Greek. And we saw, the Sefer Torah can be written in Greek. Greek language, that's fine. That's maybe even beautiful. But Chachmas Yavanis, no. Ah, it says, Chachmas Yavanis, Miyatira. Was Chachmas Yavanis really prohibited? Another reason why maybe it wasn't. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Elef Yeladim Hayu Bebeit Abba. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel reports, there were 1,000 young people learning in my father's academy. Chamesh me'ot mehem lamdu Torah. 500 were learning in yeshiva. Chamesh me'ot lamdu chokhmas yavanis. And 500 were learning in university. 500 were learning Greek wisdom and 500 were learning Torah. And this was Rabbi Gamliel's academy. Says the Gemara, okay, that's different. Amri, they say, Shani based Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel's academy was different. Why? Shehayu kroivim lemalchus. Because they were politically involved. They were close to the Roman rulers. Shalbeit Rabbi Gamliel hitiru lahem l'sapet chokmas yavanis. They allowed people to study there mitnei kroivim lemalchus because they needed that education. So it's already very interesting. Apparently chokmas yavanis is a problem, but only for some people. For some people it's not a problem. For some people it is a problem. Look what the Meiri does with that in 27. The Meiri says the following. Kasava Rava Meiri, this is the Shittim of Kibetis brings the Meiri, and says the following, Chachmas Yavanis Asura Lelamda, and we'll see soon, there's no prohibition learning it, there's a prohibition teaching it, okay? Mipnei Shemoshechet Libo Shel Adam, because it pulls people off the derech. V'horeset Harbe Mipinot Hadat. It makes people less religious. The more academic they become, and by the way, this is a problem, Adayom Hazeh. You don't have to be less religious in order to be more academic. There's no requirement to lessen Jewish commitment. But very often, people who become more and more involved in academics become less and less connected with Jewish observance for any number of reasons. We see this all the time. But those who are politically involved, they needed to get involved in all the non-Jewish ceremonies. They had to get involved in Greek philosophy. They needed to know this. Okay, the Greeks, the Romans only wanted people, Jews, who were educated in their ways. Therefore, they allowed them to learn. So those people were allowed. And now look what he says in the last line. Va'af ha-chachamim ha-shleimim. And not only that, even like big tzaddik, big chachamim, shekfar milu kreitzoi basar v'yayim. They already filled their tummies with meat and wine. What's meat and wine there? Torah. Okay? Rav Taloma, what does that mean? Ha-Torah v'Talmuda. If people who already had a good learning of Torah and Talmud, the Sodas Mitzvotei and the secrets of the mitzvahs, Ein lecha kreivim lemalchus yoter mehem. They are surely the closest to the king. Which king? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hari ne'eman, he brings a positive there in Mishli, v'malachim yelochu. Mutar lahem lelamda. They are allowed to learn Chochmas Yavanis, kedei lahashiv aleihem u'chazek adav. V'mismarim v'mesmasmerim lo yamut. Because for that crowd, if they learn Greek philosophy, it makes them more religious, not less religious. Because the learning and the chokhmah will actually strengthen their Judaism, not weaken their Judaism. And that could be where Rabbi Yishmael was coming from. He felt that he was one of those people. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But what you see from the Meiri here is also this interesting relationship with chokhmah sivanis. For some people, it's very negative. For other people, they need it. And for yet other people, it's very positive. How do you know who you are? How do you know if you're one of those people that learning Greek wisdom will actually, secular wisdom will strengthen your religious observance or weaken your religious observance? Yes. Oh, we'll get to that in a minute. Pashtus Chochmas Yevanit, he's understanding his Greek wisdom, philosophy. That's what he's talking about. It's Greek wisdom, Greek learning. For us, Chochmas Yevanit will translate into the corpus of secular learning. Literature, science. How far are you going to take it? The social sciences, maybe, yes.
Mathematics.
Definitely mathematics. Definitely. Logic. Certainly. I'm thinking, what about English literature? What about... how far do you go? What about theatre? What about film? Is that all part of it? No. That's not Chochmas Yevanit. How far are you going to take this? We'll see Rav Hirsch next week talks about this.
What about Jewish history?
Nothing wrong with Jewish history. Jewish history is a mitzvah. Zachari Mois Olam. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to learn what happened in Jewish history. But what about, you know, other histories? We'll see next week more about this.
What about medicine?
Yes, medicine, absolutely, 100%. This is that classic Chochmas Yevanit.
Wouldn't that be a mitzvah for someone to become a doctor?
It's a mitzvah to be a doctor. The question is it a mitzvah to go to medical school? that's the question, really. For sure, once you're a doctor, then for sure it's a mitzvah, but who should be the doctor? By the way, that's a real question. Everybody says we need more from doctors. We need more from women doctors. Yes, definitely. Everyone agrees on that. But who should go to medical school? That they don't agree on. Okay? Yes. Yes.
Yes. Self-reliance,
yes.
Self-improvement, all the rest. But what separates us from them is that we must never forget the attachment and what we achieve.
And that's what Rav Tzadok HaKohen said. Correct. It's the noga. It's the sheen. Rather, 100%. But can we do that? Can we take the good? And we'll see soon a very beautiful midrash about that. Yes.
I don't think that's the only thing. We need to stay within the cloud, by Israel.
Yes.
Those who learn Greek, whatever it is, it could be that I think it causes one to question their faith.
The Meiri said that.
Therefore, they step out of
100%.
The cloud.
The Meiri said that explicitly. The reason Chazal put an arur, a cherem, on Chochmas Yevanit is because for many people, it pulls them away. So what are you going to do? And also then you face... This is a massive modern day question. Should people go to college or should they not go to college? Are these sources any use at all? Or is the practical reality is that in theory, X and Y, but in practice, it's not going to work? That's a very interesting call, and it's one of the biggest things affecting the modern Orthodox community in America, because the modern Orthodox community is very focused on sending their kids to college. Understandably, and there's all sorts of reasons why that's built in. And of course, the question today is whether college is for the purpose of education or college is for the purpose of making money, which is a different kind of cheshbon, which we'll get to a bit more next week. But you end up with a tension between what's right and what works. Which okay, good. Neisrael Baltimore is Neisrael Baltimore Torah or Mada? No, it's not. And let's keep it in the sources for now. Otherwise, we'll end up with interesting discussion going on. Look at number 30, a source which is less well known. To skip 28 and 29. Actually, maybe look at 28 for a second. We'll skip 29. 28, a Mishnah in Sota. Bepulmus shel Titus gazru al atros kalos, taros kalos, during the time of Titus was the adopted son of Vespasian. This was the Roman times. This was well after Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. They made a gezeira that the kalah is not allowed to wear a tiara. V'shelo yilamed adam et beno yevanit, and that you shouldn't teach your children Greek. And by the way, you'll see later, they understand that means Chochmas Yevanit. No one has a problem with Greek language. We said that explicitly. It's Chochmas Yevanit. Look what the Yerushalmi does with that, number 30. B'pulma shel titus gazo atras kalo shelo yilamed adam et benoi Yevanit. Okay. Now, of course, there's a problem here, which is, well, when did it happen? Did this gezeira happen at the time of Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, which was 150 years before, or did it happen at the time of Titus? Shaul Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua asked, Ma'o sheyilamed atam ed benoi Yevanit. are you allowed to teach your child Chochmas Yevanis? Amalehem, he said to them, Yelamdenu b'shah she'ena lo yom v'lo laila. This is the Yerushalmi's version of what we saw in the Bible. You can teach your child at a time which is neither day nor night. Dichsivi yitabo yomam v'laila. Rabbi Ba Breda Rabbi Chia Barba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, what's the problem teaching your son Chochmas Yevanis? Bipnei HaMetzorah. Because, and the Mephoshim on the Yerushalmi say, because it pulls people off the derech. Rabbi Abahu, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, mutzah la'adam l'lamed et bito Yevanis. Oh. But it's very interesting. It's like the parallel, it's like the exact parallel to the discussion about teaching your daughter Torah. Yeah, do you teach your daughter Torah? Here it says, you're actually allowed to teach your daughter Greek wisdom, mitnei shehi tachshitla. Because for women, says this Gemara, deep understanding of Greek wisdom is actually beautiful. It's an advantage for them. It's a tachshit. It's an adornment for them, which is really very, very fascinating. If you look here in 31, in one of the Meforshim here, the Korban Nesanel, the Korban Ha'eda, which is in the Shairi HaKorban, number 31, he says the following. The Babli B'Menachas, he brings the parallel Gemara with Rabbi Yishmael, Garsin and Shal Ben Dama et Rabbi Yishmael, we see Rabbi Yishmael's nephew, Kagoin and etc. Because of HaTosfos, the Tosfos asked the question, didn't they make a Gezerah? And he says at the bottom here, in number 31, sorry, it's a little bit cut off the page, but you should be able to read it. V'li Nira, I think, the Loi Asra Ela Shalah Yilmoid et Benoi, Yilamed Benoi, The problem here, again, it's very beautiful. It's like the opposite argument of teaching your daughter Torah. What did the Gemara say there in Kiddushin? If you teach your daughter Torah, keilum alam da tiflum. But they bring down and say, but if she's allowed to learn, and if it's somebody that's not going to be a problem teaching the daughter Torah, then you should teach her Torah. It's the same thing is here. You shouldn't teach your son Greek wisdom, but if the son knows themselves that to be a person for whom it won't be a problem, because they won't go off the derech, then there's no problem. And number 32 says basically the same thing. There was never a problem learning Greek wisdom, as long as you're confident you're the kind of person that it won't negatively affect. The problem is teaching, because you never know who you're teaching. If you're teaching people, you may be teaching people and they'll go in the wrong direction. But once you've worked out that you won't go in the, and this all becomes terribly difficult to work out. How do you know? If you had a question, say yes.
In source 30.
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand the translation, because the word in the Torah is the plural of
Moiseh. No, if you look there in the other papyrus on the Yerushalmi there, so they understand that people will come into the government and they'll pull other Jews away as well. They'll pull other Jews away. The idea that people will be moiser from Judaism. That's how I understood it anyway. And I think that's definitely how the Sharia Korban understands it, because he says that the problem is people are going to go off. If you're not going to go off, then you know that there's no problem doing that. Look in number 33. Let's have a look finally at what exactly is Chochmas Yevanis. Chochmas Yevanis. So we've seen so far that it means Greek wisdom. Okay, very nice. There is another side to this coin which really parks the whole problem. Maybe Chochmas Yevanis is not Greek wisdom at all. Maybe Chochmas Yevanis is some kind of rhetoric. Look at what Rashi says. You'll relate to this Rashi, number 33. Chochmas Yevanis is Lashon Chochma. Certain language of wisdom, Shemadabrim boy bnei palatin, the politicians speak, the people in power speak this language, the ain shar ha'am makirim bo, nobody knows what the politicians are talking about. Right? Which is very funny, no? Here we're talking about a kind of a code, some kind of riddles and rhetoric that they use, that the people in power speak that way, but nobody knows what they're talking about. But it's not the wisdom, it's just some kind of code. And the Rivash basically says the same thing in number 34. Someone asked the Rivash the question, am I allowed to learn works of science? Greek science, secular science. And he says, yes, no problem. The Svarim of the Greeks is not what this Gezeira is talking about. It's talking about this special kind of language that they used to use, and this really sidelines the whole problem, because their Chochmas Yevanes is not relevant to us at all. Look at the Rambam 35. The Amru Yevanes, when they said you can't teach your son Greek, what he means is Chochmas Yevanes. Not it's Greek wisdom, Greek chachma. They would bring all these kind of hints into the way they spoke. Things that are not really the way they seem to be. Some kind of hidden code. The Greeks had a certain kind of almost like a code language. And no one's allowed to learn that kind of Greek rhetoric code, because that's how the you'll be able to then communicate with the Greeks in that way. And the Rambam concludes, I have no doubt at all, this doesn't exist today. Whatever they're talking about, says the Rambam, is irrelevant today. It was something that pertained in the ancient world, and we just don't have it. Clearly, it's not Greek wisdom, because Greek philosophy was a major platform of the Rambam. And he says that that's not a problem. Obviously, he will say that's not a problem, because Chochmas Yevanes, he says, is something very different, and Rav Moshe Feinstein basically says the same thing. What's our conclusion? Well, there's part two next week, so that will be our conclusion, okay? But for now, our conclusion is number 27 and 28, which I think you'll enjoy. The Shulchan Aruch, 37 and 38, excuse me. The Shulchan Aruch says the following, 37. Finish with these two sources. So Rabbi Ishmael, and in the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yeshua, said you can learn Greek wisdom, maybe even teach Greek wisdom, if it's not day and it's not night. So says the Ramah. Now the Ramon was a Rav Moshe Itzlitz, was not just trained in Torah, but he was a very accomplished philosopher as well. His opening words in the Shulchan Aruch are from the Moreh Nevuchim. Number 37. What should a person learn? Certainly a man. We saw women maybe should be learning Greek wisdom or whatever that means. Ein la'adam lilmoy ki im mikra mishnah u'gemara. What should a man be learning? Mikra chumash mishnah gemara. The ha'poiskim hanim shachim achreim, and the poiskim that go from the meaning learn Torah and Shulchan Aruch, Gemara, etc. Ubezeh yikneh olam hazeh ve'olam haba. If that's all you need, you'll get your olam hazeh, you'll get your olam haba, you'll teach everything you need to know. Avalo belimud shar chochmas. Don't learn other wisdoms. Okay, seems very straightforward. But in the very next line, the very next word, he says, umikol mokum, nevertheless, mutter lilmot. You are actually allowed to learn other chochmas. I didn't mean what I just said. But you're allowed to learn them ba'akrai. Shar chochmas. Ba'akrai. What's ba'akrai? Incidentally, on the side, bilvad shelo yiyeh tifrei minim. As long as they're not apikorsis. As long as they're not heresy. So again, that Shulchan Aruch is such a beautiful representation of the halacha. He says first, no. And then he says, but really? What's that crime? What if I want to do a 5-year PhD in English literature? Is that still that crime? Or is that not that crime? Look at the last source in the 38, and I'll leave you thinking about this. From this week's parasha. Vayaretz Esav likrotzav Yishakehu. Esav ran up to Yaakov and kissed Yaakov. Nekud alav derdotson v'yishakehu. Quite a well-known thing. Amr ibn Shimon ben Lazar, Melamed, what does this teach us? Shenichmaru rachmav ba'oysa shav anashku b'chol liboy. The first opinion is, they mamish kissed each other with a full heart. Esav came to Yaakov, it was a beautiful moment. Cue music, violins, hugs, kisses. It was a real kiss. So don't believe what they tell you in Cheder. It was a real kiss. Amalai Rabbi Yanai in Cain, if that's the case, Lama Nukadalav. Why are there dots on the word? The dots tell us that there's something to be dashing from this. Ela Malamed Shaloi Bala Nashko, Ela Lanashko. He didn't really come to kiss him, he came to bite him. And of course, Neshech and Neshek are the same word. Even Neshek is an ambiguous word. It means a kiss, and it means a weapon. Yeah? When the guy in the Sakana says Neshek, he's not asking for a kiss. Right? In case you misunderstood. Okay? V'naset tzavara shel avinu Yaakov shel shayish. Yaakov's neck turns to shayish. Keushinav shel Esav, so Rasha and the teeth of Esav were smashed and came out. Umat hamad loim, and what does the term mean? V'yivku, they cried. And azeh boichel, tzavara, this one is crying because someone's trying to bite his neck. V'zeh boichel ashinav, and Esav's crying because his teeth are falling out. What's going on with this medrash? This medrash is asking the question, should you go to college or shouldn't you go to college? Yeah? That's what it's asking. This medrash is asking the following question. When Esav, who normally comes to kill you, this time comes to kiss you, and he wants to hug you, in the non-Jewish world, represented by Esav, says, come and let's join in. Come to our academy. Let's hold hands. Let's sit together. Learn from each other. Why not? Why do we have to fight? Let's put that behind us. What do you do? Do you run in the other direction? The answer is no. You can kiss Esav if you want to, but you turn your neck to stone. Stone is not makabel tumah. That's what the imagery of stone. You take that which joins the head to the body, the thinking to the action, you turn it to something which is not makabel tumah, and you filter out the teeth. The teeth are the poison. The teeth is the stuff that is going to affect you negatively, and if you can filter, then you can kiss. If you can't filter, then you better run away. Interesting. I think that's what's going on here in this medrash. I'm not sure if that's how they teach in cheder. Should you or shouldn't you not go to college? But I think that's what's really going on with this meeting with Esav. So on that note, let's leave it till next week when we're getting into more of a practical discussion of Torah and Derech Eretz, Torah and Mada, and see how that works in the real world.